Amen. Open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 3. Second Samuel, chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading in verse 32. Says, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 32, "And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him." I'm going to focus on that phrase, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." My dad used to preach this when he was an evangelist. I don't think he preached exactly the same one I'm going to preach because I don't remember his outline. I do remember the text, and I do remember the gist. And the gist is you can die like a fool.
That's right.
It's possible to die like a fool. It's possible to be remembered in the way you die as a fool. So that everybody will say, oh yeah, he died. And instead of remembering it sadly and thinking of the sadness of your death, you'll think instead of the foolishness of your death. And you'll be a byword and a proverb among people because of how foolishly and stupidly you died.
Right.
Now that's the gist of the message. And even though I don't remember his outline and he was not kind enough to share it with me, I'm going to be giving you more or less the same message. So anyway, here we go. First of all, dying as a fool means to die stupidly. Right? To die stupidly. First of all, it's no shame to die. We're all going to die. It's not the fact that you die that is shameful or embarrassing. You know, it's a sad thing, and it's always sad when someone dies. And there's really not a lot you can do about it. The only people who aren't going to have to go through that experience are people that are the exception, like Enoch was in the Old Testament. Enoch was an exception. He didn't die. He was translated. And what we were being taught about this morning in Sunday school is, there's going to come a translation, a physical translation of some people in the future. It's going to be an exception also. People are going to be translated so that they shall not see death. They'll go directly from an earthly mortal body to a heavenly, spiritual, eternal, immortal, and sinless body, all in an instant, all that quick. And by the way, guys, that's the way to go.
Amen.
Let's just all go that way, okay? But if you don't fit into that category, you're going to die. I don't know of anybody who disputes that. I don't know of anybody out there that's saying, no, it's not necessary. We're going to overcome death. I mean, the scientists are not out there saying we are close to overcoming death. We've got it figured out, and all we got to do is, you know, dot a few I's and cross a few T's, and wow! No more death. We're all going to live forever. You know what they're saying now? They're saying they're hoping to get the human race to an average lifespan of over 100 years. I even have heard some of them talk about 150 years. And when you make it to 150 years, then you die. You're going to die. Anybody have any question about that? You're going to die. Does that seem like it's an uncertain thing? You're going to die. If there's one thing you ought to be considering is the fact that you're going to die. But it's not your fault. It's Adam's fault. Adam wasn't created to die. He was created to live. In fact, scientists have been quite amazed at the way multicellular organisms are organized in the way that they don't have to die. Did you know that sequoia trees don't have to die? They can just keep growing. They can just keep growing. You know why they die? You know why sequoia trees die? They fall over. They just get too heavy till they finally fall over. That's the truth. They don't have to die. There's nothing in them that causes them to die. Why do you die? Well, you know, they come up with all kinds of explanations of why people die, you know, well, because of, you know, the copying mechanism in our cells, and after a while it just gets a little worse, until finally, you know, we just make such bad copies of ourselves that we deteriorate and die. And maybe that's true, and maybe that's not, I don't know, but God made us in such a way that our bodies physically here on earth, our earthly bodies on earth, don't have to die. We're missing something. God took away something. He took away the tree of life that had some kind of an enzyme that would make your cells reproduce correctly and you not die. That's what the Bible says. You were not made to die. Die is a consequence. Death is a consequence of Adam's sin. And God said, take them away from that tree of life lest they live forever. And God made sure that he did not get back to that, and he hasn't told us what was in that fruit of the tree of life to this day. But it's coming back. Amen. There's going to be a millennial reign, and people are going to eat of the tree of life again, and it's going to have healing in its leaves and fruit, all kinds of fruit going to be bearing, and it's going to be something else, and people are going to live a long time again, just like they did before all the somatic transformations in our cells happened, and our lifespan got less and less and less and less, all the way down to what we are now, 70 or 80 years old, when we finally keel over and die. Well, it's no shame to die. In fact, since we know we're going to die, how you die is more significant than whether you die. Amen. Or even when you die. I mean, if you die at 20 years old, that might think, well, I've lost something, but you were going to die anyway, right? And if you die at 20 years old, you say, well, that's before my time. Well, we don't really know that. We don't actually know when you might have died if you hadn't died the way you do die. We don't know how long you would have lasted after that either. Some people die young. I've had several coworkers in my work since I started working over there 8 years ago. I've had several coworkers die on me, younger than me. And they've died. One just died recently of cancer. I've had several die of cancer on me. And I'm thinking, you know, well, this is amazing. These people weren't slated to die. They didn't reach their full potential, right? But that was their full potential. And you know what? Nobody blames them. Nobody blames you of dying of cancer. It's not a shame to die of cancer. You're going to die. But I think if we had to choose, if we had the possibility of choosing how we die, it might make a lot of sense to die without pain. Yeah. It might make a lot of sense to die quickly. I really, you know, just here in this chapter, or the chapter before, King Saul had become in battle, surrounded by Philistines, and he knew that if he was captured alive, it was not going to go well with him. He was going to be tortured and humiliated and strung up and who knows what, and truly dishonored. And so he fell on his own sword and killed himself. Now, some people will say that was a sin. I personally don't believe that. I don't find any scripture in the Bible that says that was a sin. You see, because he wasn't killing himself as if his option was to live. He was deciding how he would rather die since he was going to die anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? I personally don't believe that assisted suicide is a sin or wrong or immoral. Now, if there's a doctor out there or a psychiatrist that is taking people who have no reason, they're not going to die anytime soon. They're not terminally ill. They're not going to be in pain. And he's helping them kill themselves. Well, that man is sick. He's not a real doctor. Just like an abortionist is not a real doctor.
Amen.
Okay? And a psychiatrist that helps young people transition from male to female, he's not a real doctor.
Amen.
Okay, those aren't real doctors. But there can be a real doctor that says, you know you're going to die of a terminal disease that's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, it's going to cost your family that. And it's going to cause you to go through all kinds of terrible things. And then you're going to be disfigured and humiliated, and people are going to have to take care of you. And you say, is there another way? And the doctor says, well, yeah, there is. It's called assisted suicide. And so he feeds you morphine until you die. Okay, I get it. There's a lot of people say that's wrong. The Pope says it's wrong. A lot of Christians say it's wrong. A lot of big, important Christians say it's wrong. I don't say that's wrong. Because he's choosing how to die, not whether to die. You see the difference?
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I got one amen out of that. That's pretty good. Don't vote for me if you don't agree with that. If you don't believe with that, that's fine. You don't have to vote for me. I don't care. But if I have a choice to die in pain and in horrible agony, or to die on my own terms, say goodbye to my family, and then die, I would probably choose the latter. Why? Well, because I'm not choosing to die. I'm choosing how to die. And there's a difference there. But why you die is more important than either one of those other things. Why you die? Because if you die stupidly, there's shame in that. And people are not going to remember you as you were and as your life was. They're going to remember how stupid you were to get killed in that fashion. Come on. Come on. I want you to notice that David said, Abner died as a fool. And by the way, he said that at his funeral. Try to find a preacher that'll say that at somebody's funeral. There ought to be some. You know, have you noticed that people have got their feelings on their shoulders now? Everything is hurt feelings. Everything hurts their feelings. In fact, now they've come to redefine bullying as speaking. Seriously, bullying now is writing something on Facebook. That's what bullying is. I was bullied when I was a kid. I was moved up a year, and I was small for my age anyway, so I was the smallest kid in school no matter what. I was always the smallest kid in my class, and I was usually the smallest kid in school. And for some reason, bigger kids pick on smaller kids. I would get beat up. And I'm not saying that any of that had to do with my big mouth, but I was a small guy, and I would get beat up. We call that bullying. When a big guy beats up a small guy, we call that bullying. Now, if you call somebody a wimp, you're a bully. That's true. So if kids in school make fun of somebody else, and I'm not saying it's right, I'm not saying it's good, I'm not saying it's wholesome or healthy or that it ought to be allowed, I'm just saying it's really not bullying. It's about people's overreaction to being insulted. People don't like to be insulted. The word offense has changed meanings. Nowadays, we think to be offended is somebody said something insulting to you or something you took as insulting. So if you say, hey, you're fat, well, that's insulting and I'm offended. But in the Bible, it doesn't say that. In the Bible, offense is an actual crime, an actual delinquency, something you actually do that's wrong to somebody. So if you stole from somebody, that would be an offense. We still use that in the courts. It's an offense. It's an offense against the state of Texas. It's an offense against common humanity. It's an offense. What? But not a statement, not a word. In fact, Isaiah chapter 29 says it's going to come the day when the wicked are going to make a man an offender for a word and thereby lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. Pay attention, because it's happening. You see, what they're going to do is they're going to start picking on preachers for saying homosexuality is a sin. They're going to put them in jail for saying homosexuality is a sin. Somebody asked me, we were sitting at a dinner table and said, somebody asked me, well, what are you going to do when it comes to that? And I said, well, I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. I might be all big talk, but I got news for you. I'm not going to back down because somebody says you can't say that. If God tells us to say that, we got to say that. He said, announce. He said, speak it out loud. Tell them the truth. Tell them about their iniquity. Tell them what they're doing wrong. And if they don't like it, if they get offended and they say you're an offender because you said a word, I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's amazing how people have their feelings on their shoulders and they're so easily hurt over a word that was spoken. I'm telling you, Native Americans get upset because there's such a thing as Cleveland Indians and Washington Redskins. Hey, by the way, I'm a Native American. I was born here. Okay? So I don't know if we're talking about words. Did you know, what they call, it's a thing going on now. They call it linguistic reclamation. You know what I'm talking about? Linguistic reclamation. And that's where somebody, a word gets coined into an insult in the language, and the people who have that reclaim that word by calling themselves that and lifting it up. It's called linguistic, hey, it happened with the Mormons. They were criticized. They were called Mormons derogatorily. And then they turned it around and said, okay, we're Mormons. So what? That's happened in Mexico. They used to call us Aleluyos. Because we'd say, Aleluya, Aleluya, amen. We'd raise our hands and praise the Lord. And hey, by the way, you ought to do that once in a while. Raise your hand, say Aleluya, praise the Lord, Hallelujah. It don't matter if they call you Aleluyos. We wind up calling ourselves that. Yeah, we're Aleluyos. Yeah? Hey, you can do that. It's okay. Try to reclaim it. Don't get your feelings hurt. Reclaim it. Take your word back. You know, I think that's what Christians were. The word Christian in Greek means little Christ. It sounds like an insult, these little Christs. But I think they reclaimed it. Now we all call ourselves Christians. Amen. Even people who aren't Christians call themselves Christians. Well, okay. That thing happened a lot. You know what happened? That happened with Baptists. They were derogatorily called Baptists. It happened with Methodists. They were called Methodists as an insult. That was their way of insulting it. It's happened with things like Yankee, redneck, geek. Amen. All right. So here's David at the funeral saying, this man died like a fool. And I don't see any record of anybody getting offended. How dare you say that? Why? Well, because it was true. He died like a fool. Why? He was tied up, bound. Something happened. He was killed by someone who was out to kill him, and he knew he was out to kill him. In fact, Joab and his brother Abishai were out to kill Abner because Abner, in battle, had killed Asahel, their younger brother. And because of that, Joab was out to kill Abner. And Joab calls Abner over and says, hey, come over here, I want to talk to you. Puts his hand on his neck, walks over here like he's going to whisper in his ear, and stabs him. And Abner should have known better. This man was a warrior. He'd been a warrior. He'd been the head of the armies for years. He's the one who, when David was a young lad and killed the Philistine, he's the one who brought David to Saul and introduced him. So this man ought to have known. He ought to have known. So he died. He died like a fool dies. I got several points to make here. See if you can follow along. I think you die as a fool if you die carelessly. I think you die as a fool if you die intemperately. I think you die as a fool if you die deludedly. I think you die as a fool if you die trustingly, like Abner. I think you die as a fool if you die defiantly. And I think you die as a fool if you die thoughtlessly. Let's go through it. Number one, carelessly. You know how young people never been really sick, never been really hurting, never been close to death, never been, and they're bored, and they got a lot of energy, and so they do things, they dare. Daringly, they do things on a dare. Or they do things for the thrill or the excitement. That's why young men drive too fast. They get on motorcycles and weave in between traffic. Right? And they're just being careless, Randy. They're just being careless. They just, whoa, 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 and they have no fear. Why? Well, because every time they broke their leg or broke their finger or something, they just healed up. No big problem. And they're not afraid to go start drinking. They're not afraid to try drugs. Why? Well, because they've just been invulnerable up to now. Nothing's ever affected them and everything's okay. But it's the law of the harvest. You don't reap the same day. You reap later, right? And they don't realize that. They don't think about later. They're just being very foolish and very careless. And when they die, what do we say? Die like fools. When that guy driving that motorcycle, swinging in back, weaving in and out of traffic, zooming, and somebody slams their brakes in front of him, and he can't avoid it, and he slaps him, and then he's got his neck broken, and he dies, we don't say, oh, what an honorable young man. What a daring individual. Well, they will say that now at the funeral. There are not very many Davids that are going to tell the truth at the funeral anymore. They're all wimps. They're not going to tell the truth.
Right.
And I'm probably a wimp too. I don't think I'll tell the truth because I don't want to be, you know, chased out of there with tomatoes. So, you know, it's just a system we're in. They don't can't tell the truth. But I'm telling you now, that fella died as a fool. All kinds of people are taking all kinds of careless risks because they don't have enough sense of the value of their own life or a way to imagine the risk. Risk is a difficult thing to figure. And that's why the lottery works. Did you realize that if you have to drive half a mile to buy a lottery ticket, you're much more likely to die in a car wreck on the way to buy your lottery ticket than you are to win the lottery? But it's really hard to calculate these risks, right?
That's true.
I'm not making that up. That's real. It's hard to calculate risks. And so it's hard to calculate your risk of dying in a traffic accident. It's hard to calculate. And so you'll do something really, really foolish, and some people get caught at it, and they die. That's why they do the base jumping. It's nearly all young people that do that. Maybe because they die young. I don't know, but... It's hard to last that long and get old doing that kind of thing. Base jumping is where they jump with a parachute off of a cliff or off of a big building. And then they drift down in the parachute. No, and it's illegal for a reason, folks. Because some people don't want to clean you up.
Right.
You know that crocodile hunter that got famous, Steve Irwin? He got famous because he would just take all kinds of risks with these huge crocodiles. He'd sit there and slap them on the face, you know, and do all kinds of things and go around there and kick them on the tail, you know. And one time he went out there with his little baby, a newborn baby, holding his baby and with a chicken in the other hand and was feeding this huge crocodile with the chicken. Anybody think that's dangerous?
Yeah.
And he wasn't just endangering his own life. He was endangering his little baby's life. That's not right. It's foolish. And then he finally died getting too close to one of these huge stingrays, and it slapped him in the heart with its stinger and killed him.
Yep.
Now, I know he's a real hero. Nobody's going to say the truth about it. But, hey, folks, you take risks like that, and then you get caught, you died as a fool.
Amen.
You died as a fool. All right. Base jumping, wingsuiting. You know what wingsuiting is? Never heard of that? Red Bull has, Red Bull pays these people, this drink that they market to young people to try to get them to, you know, hype up on caffeine. Legal drug, by the way, caffeine. Drink all you want. Anyway, wingsuiters, they're base jumpers. They jump off with a little parachute and they've got like a robe with little attachments like wings. And they just jump off and then they fly. 200 miles an hour, fly, zipping by, and they have these little cameras on so that Red Bull can then market them saying, this is what's fun, you know. But you know how many of them died? The best in the world, one paid by Red Bull, just got killed, smacked right into a cliff. But they don't tell you about that, do they? Just try to get life insurance after doing that. Did you know that? Well, they used to. I don't know if they do anymore because hang gliding seems sort of tame now. But it used to, if you tried to get life insurance, they'd ask you, have you ever hang glided? And I had to admit that I thought about it. All right. If you die carelessly by not calculating risks, by taking a dare, doing something foolish like that, and you die by being caught with the averages, you're a fool. And you died as a fool. All right, there's another way to die, and that's intemperately. And a whole lot of people die this way. Intemperately means without self-control, without self-discipline. Some people react emotionally to things, and sometimes it costs them their life. And you know what we say when that happens? They say, what a fool. There was this golfer, Russell Phillips. Not the famous Russell Phillips, but a different Russell Phillips. I don't know why I had to tell you that. Maybe you don't know anything about golf. I don't follow it. But there was this golfer who hit it wrong one more time, and he got so angry that he hit a park bench. He hit a bench on the golf course with his glove, and it broke off, came back, and snapped him in the heart and killed him because he got angry.
Yeah.
Now, I've gotten angry plenty of times and done that. I got a few scars from it. But I didn't die, and so I beat the averages. But If you do that and you die, they're not going to say, oh, what a great golfer this guy was. Nobody says that about this guy. You know what they say? You know how he died. And it's sort of a joke, sort of a byword, right? You can die by being intemperate.
Yeah.
You ought to pay attention.
Amen.
Because there's an awful lot of ways to be intemperate.
Amen.
You might die because you hang around the wrong kids because you have no self-control.
Amen.
You may die because you get angry. You know, there are a lot of people who die because they get jealous. They get jealous. They are so angry at something. You know, their wife slept with somebody else, so they go and they kill, and then they wind up getting killed. And you know what? It was a waste. It was a waste. I'm not saying you shouldn't be jealous. You ought to be jealous. Jealousy is of God. But what I'm telling you is, don't lose your life over it. Some people die because of revenge. They get so full of hatred and they nurture their hatred so deep and they hold it for so long, they do not realize how dangerous a life that is, a life of looking for revenge. And they wind up trying to get revenge and wind up dying in the process. And there's lots of stories to tell you. Why would you be so unself-disciplined as to risk your life over some hatred? You ought to nip hatred in the bud. Just cut it off.
Amen.
And you ought to learn how to just overlook some things that people do to you, even serious wrongs. Overlook them because you're only going to hurt yourself if you try to fight it out. You try to get your revenge, you will hurt yourself. And what could even be worse is you might actually hurt them worse than they hurt you, and then God's against you. Which is something you don't want to happen. So, intemperately, you got to watch out for that. There's another way to die, foolishly, stupidly, and that's deludedly. And the one thing that comes to mind is these suicide terrorists who think they're doing God's service by blowing up innocent people. Now, I realize, listen, I know this might make me an outcast for some of you, but I realize that conservative Muslims have a serious, legitimate complaint against the West. And that is, we have filled their culture with our junk. Not the gospel, but incredibly undressed women, incredible movies, incredibly evil, wicked lyrics of music, incredible evil ways of acting, incredible drunkenness and drug use. And if you had a culture for thousands of years that has been more or less conservative and moderate and whatever, and now all of your young people are being seduced by wicked Americans and Europeans, maybe you would be upset at the West also.
Amen.
I think they have a good point. And that's one reason why you young ladies ought to stop wearing what you wear at the beach.
Amen.
Start dressing up. You can dress better than that. And you don't have to wear what the fashions are saying. And you men, you ought to stop it. You ought to just stop with all your lustfulness and your pornography and all the junk you've got. You ought to stop it. Why? Because it's evil. And some people know it's evil. They're not even Christians.
Amen.
And if you don't have a conscience about that, bless your heart, you're going to find God someday against you. You ought to have a conscience about that. And you ought to dress modestly. And it ought to not be a source of shame that you go around dressed modestly while every other woman and man's daughter out there is dressed like whores or worse. In fact, they would be better dressed if they just went in their underwear. You know I'm telling you the truth. And I'm not talking about those wicked heathen. I'm talking about you Christians in this room.
Amen.
All right, I understand that they're mad at us, but somebody deceived them and said, you know what? You're going to get 70 virgins in paradise and everything's going to be hunky-dory, eating grapes the rest of your eternity and all that kind of stuff. If you'll just strap on this thing, go in there and bomb them. And they even make little kids do that. They're being deceived. You don't think that can happen to Christians? You ever heard of Jim Jones? You ever heard of David Koresh? You ever heard of Charlie Manson? They all deceive people. They were deluded. It's amazing how many people are deceived by people and they are willing to go to their deaths over some piece of junk, some philosophy that's not worthwhile. Why would the people following David Koresh die with him? Why would they do that? To fight the government. Doesn't make any sense. This has been going on a long time, by the way. You ever heard of fifth monarchists? Levelers? They went to their deaths fighting the king, fighting everything, fighting even Christians. The ranters and the levelers back during the time of the English Reformation, tremendous fight going on over there. Levelers were sort of like communists nowadays. They wanted everybody to be equal. Everybody on a thing. They wanted to get rid of all the aristocracy and make everybody equal, and they were very similar to communists. Hey, you ever heard of communists? People are following false philosophies and they're going to their deaths for it. You know what we have to look at and say, you know, those guys were deceived. They died as fools. They died stupidly. They gave their life for a false philosophy. Anybody who gives their life for communism has been deceived. They have been deluded. And all those people who gave their lives and even actually killed their own children for Jim Jones' hallucinations, they died foolishly. Then we have this one of Abner to die, how shall we say it? Credulously, trustingly. Some people are just too quick to trust. They don't have a sense of the evil that's in people. Now maybe that is an indicator that you're not quite as bad as the rest of us. People who are bad, they don't trust other people. And people who are more or less innocent, they think everybody else is more or less like them. I got news for you. People are evil. In fact, it will surprise you how evil they are. And I'm going to tell you something else. Christians are evil. Any Christian who talks about the sanctified state, listen, don't trust that guy as far as you can see, as far as you can kick him. Don't trust him. Why? Because he's evil. He's evil on the inside, but he's not admitting it. Something's wrong. There are people that are so evil that they would do whatever it is for their own selfish pleasure. It's amazing how evil people are. And yet there are still some idiots that go around trusting people. Now I know somebody's going to say, you know, we got to trust people. You got to be more trusting and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. Don't be trusting. Don't be so trusting as to put your life on the line trusting somebody else. Because you can be fooled. You can be deceived. This Abner should have known better. He should have known better. He should not have put himself in a situation where some evil person could come up and stab him under the fifth rib. What he had done was honest. He had killed Asahel in battle, and he had tried his best to run and get away from him, but Asahel was light of foot, and he could outrun him, and he was young. He was the younger of the nephews of David. He was the youngest one, and he wanted to get his reputation, and he goes after Abner, and Abner was an old, you know, when you get old, you don't have as much energy, you're not quite as quick, and so you have to figure out other ways to stay alive in battle. And one way is to sharpen the back end of your spear. And Asahel hadn't seen that. And if everything had been equal and Abner hadn't been, Asahel would have taken Abner because he was faster and stronger and more energy and he was younger. But crafty old Abner got him not looking and got him with the backside of his spear, shoved him through right underneath the fifth rib and killed him. But that was an honest fight. What Joab did was not honest. He was deceitful. Snuck up on him. People are trying to sneak up on you, by the way. It's amazing how many religious leaders are sneaking up on you. Yeah, they are. You realize that some people you trust are going to get you hooked on drugs. And it's for your life. You're going to trust them. You're going to think they're your friends. Then they're going to look like friends. They're going to act like friends. And they're going to, you know, shake your hand like friends. And they're going to say, hey, man, this is my homeboy. He's my friend. Right? He's going to say, he's my friend. But then he's going to give you drugs. And then you're going to die a drug addict. And you'll die way before your time. And you know what you did? You died as a fool. You died trustingly. Somebody hands you a pill and says, try this. Don't try that. Don't be stupid. I don't care if he's your best friend. In fact, I don't care if he's your doctor. Ask the doctor, what is this for? You realize doctors can deceive you and actually make you go down the wrong road? And I'm not talking about all doctors. I'm just saying there are doctors out there that are not trustworthy. And if they say, well, let's do this, say why. It ain't going to hurt you to say why. What are we doing this for? Doctor's not God. He doesn't get to make all the decisions about you. You got to make your own decisions.
Amen.
And you better be careful, because somebody in a high position is going to deceive you, and it's going to cost you your life. It will cost you your life. I'm telling you about friends. I'm telling you about celebrities.
Right.
It's amazing how people will trust somebody because they can sing.
Yeah.
So they're good singers. So what? You're going to trust them? You're going to trust what they say? And they say, well, I just think it's just this way, and it's all so good, and it's all so wonderful, and I don't have any problem with marijuana, and I don't have any problem with this, and I just think people are too fuddy-duddy, and all these celebrities don't know anything. They don't know anything. They honestly have not even finished high school. But they trust them. Some people trust psychologists. I mentioned the psychologists that actually help kids transition from boys to girls and from girls to boys. Those are evil people. They are evil people that have a false philosophy, and they are not interested in your welfare. They're interested in their agenda. It's an evil thing. It's a wrong thing. If you have a child that is confused, they call it gender dysphoria. It's very common in places where we are saturated with sex. And there's sex everywhere, by the way. This generation is saturated with sex. There's sex on television. There's sex in movies. There's sex in music. There's sex on the news. Every grocery store has a line of magazines. Sex, sex, sex. If the word sex is on every front cover, and if you completely saturate a culture with sex, a lot of kids are going to grow up confused. Because they have been exposed to sexuality too young. And when they are, they're going to be confused. So you might have a confused young person, and they might have gender dysphoria where they're not, they feel like they want to be, especially in single parent families, folks. Young boys can be confused. They want to be like mom because they don't have a strong dad in their life. Hey, this is not, I'm not making this up. This is real. This is actually happening right now. And if you've got somebody like that, you just have to talk to them and make it clear to them. Tell them the truth. You're not a girl. You're a boy. You were born a boy. You can tell you're a boy by looking. All you got to do is trust God.
Amen.
And a psychiatrist that tells you otherwise is taking the life of your child.
That's right.
Do you realize that 5% of Americans have an intent to commit suicide? They've tried it. But do you realize if you go to gender dysphoric, people who have changed sex, transgenders, it's 40% have attempted suicide. They take their own lives. And the ones that don't try to commit suicide are devastated anyway. Their lives are destroyed. Why? By this false, evil philosophy, and it comes from recognized, important psychiatrists and psychologists who think they know something. Don't trust them.
Amen.
Don't trust them. Some university professor will tell you something. Don't trust him. It could cost you your life. There's a bunch of them out there, and they're pushing pot. A lot of these professors now at universities are pot smokers right now. I've heard them admit it. It's amazing. Politicians, you trust your politician? Your politician's going to tell you, oh, this is what this is for. And that's not what it was for. And that's not what it was about. And you might actually go to your death thinking that this is what it's for. And you were wrong. It's happened so many times in our past in the American political system. It's happened. That's not even mentioned in all the other ones. It's happened so many times where a war was over one thing, but it wasn't over that. It was over something else. And a lot of these things we don't even know. A lot of these things we don't even know. All right. You can die as a fool if you die trustingly. All right. Did you realize that you can die as a fool even if what you do foolishly isn't what causes your death? Obviously, if you do something foolish and it causes your death, you died as a fool, right? But I think it also applies to people who are foolish all the way till they die. even if what their foolishness didn't cause their death. You follow me? And so that's why I come up with this defiantly. You realize there are some people who think that life is a product of nature, not realizing that nature is a product of life, and life is a product of mind. I lost you. There are some atheistical types that have this philosophy that life itself, our lives, are a product of nature, and so that's all there is. But they don't realize that nature itself, what we call nature, is a product of life. We look at Earth and we say nature. Nobody goes to Mars and says nature. Nobody goes to the moon and says nature. Have you ever seen the pictures of the moon? They don't say nature. Nobody looks at the sun and says nature. No, nature is life. Nature is a product of life. Life, what God did in life, caused what we call nature. We go out to nature, we see what? We see beautiful trees and waterfalls and butterflies and birds singing, and that we call that nature. They have these nature walks and these nature conservatories and these nature wildlife preserves and nature things like that. They say nature and they mean life, but life is a product of mind. It's a product of mind. Somebody invented it. You can't come up with DNA by accident. And there's not anybody out there that's got even a theory of how it could have happened. Not even a theory. Don't listen to the evolution junk. Evolution is just changing something that is alive into something else that is alive. And we all know it happens on a small scale, but nobody can show you how life came about except by a mind, a supreme intelligence that put it together and made it all work together. But because these atheistical types have this idea, you know what they're telling you? They're telling you there's nothing about God. There's no God. There's no reason. And I'm not talking about pure atheists. Pure atheists are rare because it's a very difficult thing to sustain intellectually. That is the idea that there is no God, and I know that there's no God. There's no way to prove that there is no God. In fact, most of the evidence points to a creator. Amen. Most of the evidence points to a God. So if you have any kind of a scientific inkling, then you know that the evidence points to a creator. All of it. There's no opposing side. If you start listing out the evidences of a creator, it just becomes piling on higher and higher. And if you look at the other side, there's none. Not even one. So there's no scientific atheism, okay? It is a misnomer. It does not exist. But there are a bunch of atheistical thinkers who have a philosophy that there is no God. And they'll have this philosophy and they'll go to their death defiantly saying, I don't care about anything. I don't believe in God. And they want to die intellectually consistent. And so they meet the very day of their death in defiance, not realizing that death was to teach them something. Hey, listen, folks, if life is the product of mind, think about it. If life is the product of mind, the mind is still there. Even after you die, the mind is still there. He produced you once. It's not even a difficult leap in logic to say he can produce you again. Amen. He can just bring you right back. If he cares about you, he could do that. You're not just an accident of nature. You're a product of a mind. And the Bible says that God formed you in the belly. Amen. He fashioned you. He formed you. He knew you before you were born. That's what the Bible says. He knows who you are. He knows your name. He knows the number of hair that are on your head. The Bible says so. And he even cares about the birds that fall to the ground. He cares about the lilies. He cares about this creation. And listen, these atheistical thinkers will make you go to your deathbed thinking that you're bright. You're so conceited, you think you're intelligent. And you think because of your intelligence, you're not deceived by these foolish religious notions. But death ought to wake you up. Amen. Somebody dies, it ought to wake you up, folks. Your stupid conceitedness, your intellect, who cares about your stupid intellect? You're going to fight to the death to prove you are intellectually consistent? Why don't you wake up and say, God's trying to get my attention because my mama died and my daddy died and my best friend died. Maybe God's trying to wake you up, get your attention. Atheistical thinkers are not being honest with themselves. They're not facing it. And you know, they'll go to their deathbeds never facing it. Never looking it in the face. Why? Because they are defiant. It makes no sense to have lived in this life having so much understanding, knowing the difference between right and wrong, going through all of the learning that you've gone through, being able to discern tremendous truths about equality and about justice and about righteousness and about beauty. It makes no sense to become a master organist or concert pianist or to write tremendous symphonies and then let it all go without even fighting to hang on to it, without even saying it's worth something. Not even a wisp of imagination to say, God made me for this. Amen. And I gotta find him. There, anybody who is so defiant against God that they would go to their death in defiance, they die like fools. Right. And they say there's no fool like an old fool. Yeah. You get that age, you ought to start waking up. You get to a certain age, you ought to be saying, you know something, there's got to be something here. This guy has to have some meaning. Whoever gave me my ability to reason must be a reasonable person. Amen. And you ought to be looking for him with all your heart. And if you're not looking for him, if you're not humbled, if you're not broken over death, the death of your own parents or the death of a child, if that doesn't break you, if that doesn't humble you, if that doesn't make you seek God with all your heart, if it doesn't make you search until you're worn out searching and you die searching, if you're dying searching, you're not dying like a fool. But if you die without even searching just because of your stupid philosophy, the mere doctrine of it, that there is no God, and so you shake your hand defiantly against all the religious charlatans out there and you say, I won't have nothing to do with it, and even pretend to be okay with it, you're dying like a fool. There's one more. That's where people die thoughtlessly. Thoughtlessly. No interest. Have you ever known anybody that way? Has no interest in talking about it? I have no interest in talking about religious things or about God or about death or about afterlife or about heaven or hell or even justice or righteousness or any of that stuff. Just have no interest. They are just too intent on their what? Their video games, or they're too intent on their parties, or they're too intent on their job or their work. They're making money. They're doing something. No interest whatsoever. So they come to the day of their death and they die without ever having given it any thought. That happens all the time, folks. There's people all over the place that are dying without giving death any thought. They die thoughtlessly. They die as fools.
That's right.
Well, that's the idea of a fool. The fool is not thinking. The fool is stupid. The fool's not thinking. And if you're not thinking about death, you're dying like a fool. No interest. Die thoughtlessly. No effort. No searching. If you have any sense about you, you ought to be trying to find God with all your heart. And somebody tells you on the street, somebody comes up to you on the street and says, hey, have you read the Bible? Yeah, no. Don't have time. I don't have time. You die like a fool. You die stupidly. You ain't got time. No effort into finding out what's going to happen to your soul. No effort in finding out whether there is a judgment. And there is a judgment. Makes perfect sense. You know right and wrong, but there can't be any right and wrong unless there's a judgment. Why aren't you finding out about it? There's got to be a judgment. There's got to be a judgment. People who do evil can't just get away with it. Come on, use your common sense. God gave it to you. There's a judgment, and you ought to be searching it. You ought to be figuring it out. How do you have to do to get past this judgment? What do you got to do? Where's the searching? Where's the effort? Where's the visiting of churches? Where's the reading of all the holy books? Where's the reading? Where's the searching? Amazing how many people go their entire lives without ever breaking open the book of the Bible. Never finish one book. In their entire life, never finish one. Some of them never read one chapter, and they got a Bible in their home, haven't read one chapter of it. Not one. Just too busy. Too busy? Fool. You die as a fool. You go to your death thinking, well, everything's just going to have to be okay. It's been pretty good up to now. All right. Some people avoid negative thoughts. You know anybody like that? They don't want to talk about that because it's negative. I know people who will not talk about death because it's too negative. And they avoid negative thoughts. Hey, I got news for you. Life is at least half negative. And you're not seeing the whole picture until you see the negative side. In order to understand the positive, you've got to see the negative. And if all you want to do is focus on the positive, you're being foolish. You're being absolutely foolish. Do you know some people surround themselves with, in fact, most people surround themselves with people who only say nice things about them? That's actually foolish. If the only people you hang around are people who will never tell you that you got lettuce stuck in your teeth, somebody's got to be willing to tell you something. Amen. It's amazing how people just want positive, just want positive. That's how some people choose churches. Right. They want to go there and have something nice said about them. They want things to be said that are uplifting and make you feel good. But what if you need to feel bad? What if you're guilty and somebody's got to tell you?
Amen.
What if there's something you got to get right with God and nobody's willing to tell you? And you just go merrily on your way, never having a negative thought. Nobody ever going to tell you, you're going to die. You're going to die. Are you ready? You're going to die. What are you going to do about that? Nobody ever tell you. And some people will just live their life, and they just live it by one distraction after another. That's one reason why people listen to music all the time. It affects their mood, so they never have to think about anything serious.
Right. Right.
I'm picking on you people who listen to music all the time. Hey, but I'm telling you seriously, you can get addicted to music just like drugs.
Yes.
It does the same thing. Music will do in your body the same things drugs do in your body. Produces little stuff in your body that makes you feel good, even if you're not supposed to feel good. Now, one amen. That's okay. I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Some of you ought to fast from music. Try it. You get the shakes and the withdrawal. Fast from music to see what I'm talking about. I'm telling you the truth. But people live from one distraction to the next, day after day after day, so they never have to think about anything disturbing or difficult or negative or something that causes them anguish or ulcers. But what if ulcers would give you a good showing in the judgment seat of Christ? What if ulcers would give you a good showing up there someday when you meet God and you face Him face to face and He says it's a good thing you had some ulcers because you changed some things in your life and made your life right? It'd be wise, tremendously wise. Who told you that this world is supposed to only be positive? It's not. Some of the things you're going to have to do is carry a cross. Some of the things you're going to have to do is bear a burden. Sometimes you're going to have to put up with people you don't like.
Amen.
Thoughtlessly, if you go to the day of your death without thinking seriously about the things of God and death and judgment and heaven and hell and all of these things, if you go to the day of your death without thinking seriously about these things, you die thoughtlessly, you die as a fool.
Amen.
I know I'm going long, but I'm going to finish. Some people die without any preparation. And I'm talking about the people who've thought about it. People who believe the Bible, but they die without preparing. Maybe they think they've got a little bit more time. Hey, young people, you young married people, you have life insurance? Young married men, you have life insurance? If you don't, you're a fool. And your kids have a right to say, what are you doing?
Amen.
What are you thinking? Well, you want your kids to be paupers? You want them to be poverty stricken? You want them to be, to grow up, they get their GED and barely get a job? You want them to start pushing drugs so they can make a living? You want your wife to have to work and send your kids off to daycare? Are you being so foolish as not to get life insurance? If you're single, don't listen to me. It's fine. Who cares? Mess yourself up. You don't need life insurance if you're single. You die and it's over. I don't mean nobody will care. I'm just saying you got nobody to take care of. But if you are a grown person, you got kids, and you all don't have life insurance, we all call you a fool. Why? Because you could die and leave them destitute. Don't tell me you can't afford it. Don't be stupid. Right?
Amen.
Well, what about spiritual things?
Amen.
No preparation?
Amen.
You got nothing to prepare for? You got nothing to get right with God? You got nothing to straighten out? Nothing to reconcile? Huh? You say, yeah, I know the Bible's true, and yeah, I know there's a heaven, and yeah, I know there's a hell, but I just, not right now. I'm not ready. I know I'm not ready. I'm not quite ready. But I'll do it later. I'm not talking about the idiots. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you not ready to die. You a Christian, you're not ready to die? You got outstanding debts? Spiritual debts you haven't figured out, you haven't fixed?
Amen.
You got somebody you've done wrong and you hadn't gone and fixed that?
Amen.
Huh? Die like a fool. You die and you leave all kinds of debts. Somebody else has to carry your burden. That Joab killed Abner. But David didn't kill Joab. You know what David did? He let his son take care of that. I know David is a great man, but that wasn't right. David made some serious mistakes, some serious wrongs that he did. And this was one of them. His nephew, Joab, son of his sister, had done something horrible. This was a wrong thing. And he should have been punished. I don't know what the punishment should have been, but those were pretty bloody days. I think it should have matched the days. But he didn't do it. He let him continue. Did you know that Joab was about to lose his position as head of the armies?
Right.
Joab didn't just do it out of revenge. He killed Abner because Abner was the head of the armies. And he had made a contract with David and they were going to join the kingdoms. And so Joab was going to lose his place. Probably. Some selfishness going on there. And David said, I'm not taking care of that. He didn't have the backbone. He needed Joab. I don't know what his thinking was, but he left that to his children. What are you leaving to your children?
Amen.
You got something you can fix and you're not fixing it? You die like a fool. Like a father who dies without providing for his children.
Yeah.
You know what the Bible calls you? Worse than an infidel.
Right.
I'm not making this up. The Bible says you are worse than an infidel. Because you die unprepared, not taking care of your own people. Listen. You have an opportunity to get right with God and be reconciled to Him completely. You have an opportunity to get right with your brother. You have an opportunity to get things straight, to get some things cleared up in your own character. You have the opportunity to repent of sin and confess it and get it right before God. And you don't take that opportunity, you're being foolish.
Amen.
You die with that debt on your record. It's gonna come up. And you can get it taken care of. You're not saved. You're not prepared to die. You're gonna go, you know, what do you think? You're gonna get a few more years of fun in before you give your life to Christ? Don't be so stupid. Don't be so foolish.
Amen.
You know there's a heaven. You know there's a hell. You know there's a judgment. You know there's a God. You know you're going to have to face Him. What are you doing? Why are you being so foolish? Why don't you just jump off a cliff with a little bitty parachute? That's what you're doing. You're just being stupid. You're risking everything. You're risking eternity over a lack of preparation. You die as a fool.
Amen.
Don't die as a fool. Wake up and do some preparation. Wake up and get yourself right. Wake up and do what you can do in this life to get yourself right with God, because you have your opportunity now. Let's pray.